Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 222, where we talk all things comics for the week of December 19th, 2018. And as always, I'm joined by my new co-host, Klaus. Klaus, how are we doing today?
Oh, hi, I'm doing quite well. We have dance party.
Hi, doggy.
He's better than to put it on the desk of a clerk.
Yeah, how's it going, Alex?
I'm doing pretty terrible, actually. Big Daddy not in the Hall of Fame.
The Wrestling Observer Hall
again,
of Fame.
Again, but he did go up. He improved his standing.
Slowly but surely, one day Big Daddy will have justice.
Every year this motherfucker is going to get another couple percentage points, and then he's going to be in the fucking Hall of Fame. They're putting these fucking jobbers like L.A. Park and Bill Apter.
Jerry Jarrett was in the Hall of Fame. That's the one that took me.
Jarrett, because he booked Memphis.
Hey, Alex, in his little Tennessee brain, he was Hulk Hogan. He broke 1,000 guitars, but he never drew a dime.
Why don't we put fucking Mike Graham in the Hall of Fame?
Might as well.
Motherfuckers.
But not fucking Big Daddy, the most famous UK wrestler of all time.
It's called a Hall of Fame. Go to England and ask anyone over the age of 40 to name a wrestler. Will they say Hulk Hogan? No. They will say Big Daddy. Wrestler in England.
Wasn't there some other European country someone was talking about, and the only wrestler they could name was Big Daddy? I forget what it was. You and Dave were talking about it.
America? No. Ireland? I don't know.
Because I can't remember. There was some context.
Is Otto Vons in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
If he is and Big Daddy's not, Shirley Crabtree.
But, hey, the cat is in the Hall of Fame.
The cat?
Well, you know, the one that killed Curiosity.
I thought you meant Ernest Miller. Like, Ernest Miller is in the Hall of Fame. Like,
Dave's been sending those Chris Benoit memes, and it's like... They'll show Nancy and they'll label her as Curiosity. And they'll have a graphic over Chris Benoit.
That's terrible.
The cat. Oh, no, I said that backwards.
Benoit's Curiosity. Chris Benoit, it's just terrible.
And Nancy is the cat.
I saw that. Yeah, that was bad. That's not funny. Shouldn't joke about that. Not when I'm trying to talk about Big Daddy for Hall of Fame 2019.
Well, I'm saying he's in the Hall of Fame and not Big Daddy.
I know, and he's a murderer. Murdered his child, murdered suicide, and his wife.
Yeah, for some reason why I'm cool with him murdering his wife, but the kid I won't.
Although that's because you hate women. But at the time he was voted in, he was not a double murderer.
But they had a chance to take him out.
They did. Well,
in the grand scheme of pro wrestling, like, really, what's Chris Benoit, especially now, where you have all these super workers that are much better than Chris Benoit?
They got an award named after a guy who is currently wrestling now. Because they have the Daniel Bryan Award, but he's still a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird.
A little bit.
What if he kills Birdie?
Oh, don't even joke about it like that.
Are they gonna take him out?
Yeah, they should.
Or do we just leave him? Is Ty Cobb still in the Baseball Hall of Fame? He's a big racist.
Yeah.
Did a movie about him with Tommy Lee Jones.
As long as we're talking about ever, because I think off air we were talking about something, if ever people would ever forget about something. Do you think people would ever put Pete Rose back in the Hall of Fame or in the Hall of Fame?
I think he probably should. Well, what did he do? He bet on some games?
Yeah, in retrospect, is it really bad considering all the steroids accusations now?
Well, it's like, does that mean you're wrestling or baseball Hall of Fame, you're voting them in for what they did as a player, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what does it matter if he fucking bet on some games?
He's done his time. Just put him in the Hall of Fame before he dies.
And he was great.
Or maybe his punishment will be, as long as he's alive, he won't be in the Hall of Fame, but as soon as he passes away, they'll put him in the Hall of Fame. Actually, that seems like a fitting punishment.
He was great in WWE. When he come out.
Didn't he just get tombstoned by Kane?
Yeah, like 5 years in a row.
That's Kane.
He just kept coming out, and then because you know he played for the Reds, and Kane's the big red machine.
If it sounds like we're stalling, it's because we only have 5 books this week. We have,
and next week we'll have like 2. So
yeah, so well, this week I happen to read Sandman, so we'll have that to talk about this week, and next week we'll have the other Sandman book that we wanted to read, or you wanted me to read, I should say.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I turned away from the mic to burp.
All right. Well, let's keep going here. Let's move on.
All right. We diddled around enough. Let's go into our first segment this week. News.
In a sense, it don't come easy. In a sense, it never will. Accidents mean no one's guilty. Ignorance means someone's killed. So I asked Alan, Mr. Miller, how to get to where one's going. And he points to his survival.
I finally decided that next week I'm going to pick out music.
Wait, let it play.
If I got a soul, cutting down the hours till it goes.
On a dark wet night in April, right. On a street in Jersey. I was expecting a joke.
No. I just like the song.
Oh, you could have told me play it from 30-second spot all the way up to the minute.
No, because it's better if you have the intro.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Forgiveness.
It's okay. I don't mind.
Alex, what is this song? I mean, I have it in front of me, but I want you to...
It's Countdown the Hours, Ted Leo and the Pharmacist.
There you go. There's your daily or weekly dose of Alex's... of indie goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll go ahead.
As I usually give a little bit of information, Ted Leo has been around for years. He was friends with the guys from Fugazi.
Mm.
For anyone who, I don't like Fugazi, but you know, for anyone who knows. And he's had Ted Leo and the Pharmacist for a few years. It's mostly just him and a rotating group of people. And I don't know if that's because he's a prick and he can't keep people. Or if just the releases are so scattered that you can't actually keep a band together for years and then be like, okay, every 5 years we're going to do an album. I don't know. I saw him... I saw him on a show with Pavement and, who else? Fuck.
A band I know.
I can't remember who else. Pavement's like fucking indie royalty. So they had a mashup album with Jay-Z years ago.
Ooh.
Where,
a legit one or like the one that, one?
No, like
guy
one,
made with-
it was the first mashup album, like the first big one. That somebody made, and Inner City Youths discovered Pavement.
Ooh.
And Inner City Youths is my nice way of saying black people.
I prefer that to Coughlin's, where he just calls them athletic. Like he'll be like,
well, they're not all athletic.
I know, but he'll be talking about like, say, John Jones, and the first thing he'll say, John Jones is really athletic. And then eventually he became self-aware, and he's like, yeah, I realize now that I just say that when I just mean black.
Why would you say that about a guy in MMA? Like, clearly he's athletic. It's not like in wrestling where athletic is code for no personality.
I'm sure there's plenty of lumbering around MMA fighters.
Like Mark Hunt.
Like Mark Hunt or
Big Country.
Or what's his name?
Troy Nelson.
No, what's the name of the balls guy? Travis Brown.
Louis?
Well, that's not Travis Brown. The guy, I should know his name. My balls was hot.
I don't know why Mark Hunt doesn't just, like, he's a fat Samoan.
That's true.
He's not very athletic.
Derek Lewis. There we go. That's the guy.
Derek Lewis. Okay. Or, King Dada.
King Dada is being generous by calling him an MMA fighter.
Well, like, he fought an MMA fight and almost died.
Against Kimbo Slice.
Well, Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice is not athletic.
Kimbo Slice would fucking murder me, though. So,
well, he can't now.
It's, well, he always could.
And not
like
now.
I'm no fighter.
It's kind of hard for him to do it now.
No, but if he was, like, you know.
Alive?
Yeah.
Kimbo, born to fight with a beard as black as night. Did you ever hear that poem? Someone sent to Brian, and Brian read it on air, and they played music underneath it.
I saw the Daniel Cormier All About That Cake.
Of the two, that is superior.
I saw that, and they did a video. It's pretty amazing. Where he's watching it, I'm like, Cormier was like in the Olympics, and he's kind of like a fat, but he's funny. He's a good fighter.
Very good fighter.
Yeah, good for him.
All right, let's go into this news. Our first news story that Alex wanted to make fun of that I found, but they're teasing in the pages are from Marvel Publishing that Captain America was found and unfrozen before the Avengers found him.
So Marvel's new thing, because this and the Fantastic Four were going to slightly change their origin, is in a never-ending effort to catch up to DC. Since, you know, we did Secret Wars and we changed nothing, we're now going to make tiny little changes to characters' origins. And that's going to bring the fans back.
Yeah, it's weird because it seems like they're trying to appeal to new fans, but as we just established before, that never works. It's like there's only so many comic book readers, and it seems like as opposed to trying to get new fans, which doesn't seem to work when they try, the best way to go about it, and we've seen from DC that it works, is just cater to the disenchanted fans, try to get them to come back.
Yeah, I don't think changing origin stories that have been the same for 50 years is really going to bring people back.
I mean, like we've seen, this is sort of that they're skirting around the edges. It's just like, who found Captain America on ice before the Avengers? And it's like, okay, does it really matter? Because they put him back in ice. And they in the news story here, they give it away too. It's Namor.
Yay.
Yeah, a bunch of, let's see if I, Inuit people find Captain America frozen in ice. And then Namor comes across them. It's not like a giant earth-shattering thing. Although sometimes they have changed characters' origin. They've changed them going forward, like Thanos. They did that Thanos Rising thing, and they pretty much retconned him ever being obsessed with death.
Huh.
And then, like we mentioned last week, there was that Fantastic Four one where they're teasing that somebody gave them their powers.
So uninterested in this.
Yeah. Well, as long as we're talking about catering to new fans, our next news story, the Spider-Man from PlayStation 4. Now, obviously, this isn't Spider-Man from the 616. This is a separate universe unto itself. They are giving the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man his own title. Now, normally, I would sort of dismiss this as just...
8 issues?
It might last longer than that, but no, it's not long for this world.
Yeah,
but,
as a guess, 8
but
issues.
I would recommend
maybe
reading this because it's written by our boy Dennis Hopeless of Spider-Woman fame.
It's just, do I want to read fucking alternate reality Spider-Man? Like, I don't read normal Spider-Man. And you already got Spider-Man running around, then you got Miles running around, and then in the fucking, they're coming out with the, that movie.
Oh, by the way, I saw the movie over the weekend. Big thumbs up.
I'm sure it's... why is this in theaters? Can I buy this at home?
They spent a lot of money. It's a very pretty movie.
Yeah, but it's not like going to make like millions and millions.
If it appeals to kids enough, it might do pretty well.
Do we have any info on what this has done? Because it's like, I if it was on like fucking, if I could buy it on Amazon.
Well, you could buy it eventually on Amazon.
Yeah, but I don't want it eventually. I want to watch it now, but I don't want to go to the fucking theater.
Let's see. I'm not really one for movies, but I'm going to Rotten Tomatoes, and I think they do.
It Wednesday box office. It was number two. It did half of what Mary Poppins Returns did, which I believe is also a Disney movie. So,
but this Enter the Spider-Verse was not a Disney film.
It wasn't.
It's because it was all Spider-Man. It was a Sony film.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, Aquaman's coming out Friday, and Bumblebee.
What's Bumblebee at Rotten Tomatoes right now? I have a bunch of stuff pulled up, and I don't want to slow down the show.
I don't know. Did it come out for early releases?
I believe so, and I believe it's getting good reviews right now. Let's see.
Really? Well, obviously because of John. It's got a 94% fresh, whereas Aquaman is a 68%, but I think Aquaman's going to make more money.
Probably.
Aquaman might actually... You know why Aquaman's going to make money?
Because of Jason Momoa?
Because Jason Momoa is the most likable human being on Earth.
And he looks like Roman Reigns.
I told you, he does look like Roman Reigns.
He looks like a parallel universe Roman Reigns where people like Roman Reigns.
Well, yeah. Well, he's more likable. I was watching... me and Lauren decided to rewatch Game of Thrones.
And he's not pretending to have cancer.
And I watched him rape the little blonde girl. But then after that, they make you like him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's... She wants to have sex with him.
And then, spoiler alert, they kill him.
Yeah, and then they kill him. Which is a shame. There are actually funny stories from the set, by the way. Like, when they'd have to have sex, he'd, like, put a sock on his dong and, like, draw a face on it.
Nice.
Because they don't actually have sex, obviously.
Yes. I've known this from softcore.
Yeah. I thought softcore was just they took porn and they cut out the penetration.
No, they do the same thing. Because they get real actors to do it as well.
You know who did a lot of that softcore stuff?
Just say it because I think I know who you're talking about.
The guy who played Mulder.
Yeah. But he
did. Yeah, he did.
He didn't.
He did a lot of that.
He was in it, but he wasn't in any scenes, right?
Oh. Was he? I don't know.
He acted in it. He was like a legitimate actor in the film, but he didn't.
He was a legitimate actor.
Well, sex workers are not exactly known for their acting ability.
They should do live action. You know how Disney's doing all the live action stuff now? They just take their old movies and remake them?
Yeah.
I don't think Iron Giant was a Disney movie. But I think they should make it a Disney movie and then make a live-action Iron Giant because that movie rules.
It does. And it is a bit of a cult classic.
Makes me cry.
It is a sad, sad film. All right, in our final news story, we have the reveal of the Detective Comics 1000. Some of these include well-known names like Kevin Smith and Jim Lee, Brian Michael Bendis, Warren Ellis, Batman the Animated Series producer Paul Dini, Jeff Johns, Tom King. I'm cruising through this because a lot of these, because it's DC, they're going to put over the artists as well. So I'm trying to comb through these and figure out which one of these are writers and which one of these are just artists.
I'm excited for exactly two of these writers, and one of them currently writes Batman. So...
Warren Ellis, I presume, is the other one.
Yeah, Warren Ellis would be the other one.
Yeah, James Tylon the fourth.
He's good.
Yeah, he's writing Justice League right now. He's good.
I like him.
Yeah, he's the last name I didn't.
Three.
Jeff Johns.
Yeah, I'm kind of hot and cold with Johns.
Same thing with Bendis.
Bendis, I'm just cold.
It's more cold, but every now and then he does do a good.
Excuse me.
You should be. But yeah, as we've seen from Action Comics 1000, they're going to roll out. I presume, I think Doug Mankey is the regular writer on that book, so I'm sure he'll have the main story. And then everybody else will have the what do they call all the backups? There we go. It'll have like a million backups.
Huh.
All right, and that's going to do it for this week's news. Let's move on to our next segment, This Week's Books. As a big Mother homer, Mother 3 is by far my least favorite.
I know, and you're like the only one.
I do like Mother 2. I do like Earthbound.
Because everybody else played Mother 3. They're like, oh my god, this is like perfect. And then you played it, you're like, it's too hard.
It's true.
Yeah, the one thing it has above Earthbound is it actually connects to the previous game.
Yes, because, well, here and there. I mean, they do announce that Gygas.
Well, it has an actual direct connection, and whereas Earthbound feels more like a good remake of kind of.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's still a sequel, but you're right. It does feel more like a remake than anything else.
Yeah, that song actually comes from when you walk into the movie theater and they're playing video of things that went on in Earthbound.
Yes, the original name of the song is Pollyanna. And I think I was talking to my buddy the other day, and I think we've talked to you about this. That then they released Mother 1 on the NES or in Japan, the Famicom. They released it with an album as well, with vocals. With English vocals. They didn't bother doing Japanese.
Well, because the game takes place in America.
Yeah, but it's not like they did that with any other game. It's not like when Super Mario Brothers came out, they re-released the soundtrack done by an actual band with English lyrics.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, the guy who wrote the game, like, he wrote it with, like, oh, okay, this game takes place in America, so you presumably would have, you know.
And then, of course, English. Mother 3 has the Japanese trope of technology versus nature.
Yes, it does.
That they do to death.
Because they love that.
Oh, God.
That is their favorite. I think it has something to do with, nuking them.
I'm sure part of it is resentment of the fact that we, nuked them and defeated them. And introduced capitalism to them.
I don't think they're mad about capitalism.
If you play that Mother 3 game, you can kind of see.
No, it's no. Yes. That's too simplistic. It's because they don't change back like when they win. It's not that capitalism is bad. That's not what it's saying. And also, Porky did not create. I can't believe I'm talking about a fucking video game story like this. It's a game for children, for God's sakes. Porky did not create a capitalist society. It was an evil society.
Well, what did they have before? They were just
from the top. Yeah, they were
farmers.
They were bartering.
Yeah, and then Porky
it was
came.
Different. But it's not like it's capitalism versus socialism. They weren't a socialist society where all their needs are met by a government. They had no government. Mm-hmm. That's actually the thing. Until the pig army took over, there was no government in that world. The government was the evil.
Mm.
And like, yes, they brought the concept of money, but it was still the government that was evil. So it's still a positive message.
we'll leave it at there because we'll get on a roll, and I don't think that's what people are here for necessarily.
Talk about the political implications of Mother 3.
Yeah, exactly. I hate it when other podcasts do it, so let's try not to do it here as well. Yeah, I know. All right, let's go over to this week's books, which include Freedom Fighters number 1, Middle West number 2, Batman 61, Dead Man Logan number 2, and open up this week's books from Boom Studios. We have Klaus and the Crying Snowman number 1, writer Grant Morrison and by Dan Mora.
I told you I didn't understand what was going on because we apparently missed like two Klaus comics.
When I was reading this, when I first pulled this up, I was like, oh, is he going to make this an annual tradition where every Christmas he'll do a big Santa Claus story? And apparently this isn't true because he's been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, he just kept doing these Santa Claus. So there were like 5 new characters who I didn't know.
Yeah. Now, like we mentioned earlier, we didn't know exactly what was going on. We didn't know the new characters, but there was a new storyline in this, and in that we can sort of review what happened in this book. Because the second part in the title is The Crying Snowman, and that's what I felt like the main plot in this. It did obviously have them fighting the Ragnarok dragon. What's that?
Fighting aliens?
Yes. I'm gonna put over Dan Mora. His art in this was absolutely fantastic.
The art in this was very good.
It fit the story beautifully. I want the plushie of the crying snowman.
I don't know how you could get a plushie of a snowman. They're not fuzzy.
But just the way he drew them was so sympathetic and cute.
Well, I guess, but I it's like, not, you know.
Like, he's so,
It wasn't Gus.
He was, well, no, but nothing is. But he was all round and kind of jolly looking and, well, he was sad at moments, but there are parts where he was talking to Santa where he started to cheer up and at the end of the book he does cheer up and eventually melt.
Yeah, which, I don't know, that wasn't.
Yeah, that was the story in this. He didn't know who he was. He forgot his memory. He knew he had some kind of past before, but, he noticed that his memories and he would get dumber as the temperature would get hotter. He was like, well, when it was really cold, I remember I was really smart, and now that I'm here on Earth, and it's kind of warm, I'm kind of stupid, and I don't remember a lot of things. And then eventually he has revelations of what he did before he was a snowman. He was a married man, he had a kid, he had an affair, he died in a car. Was the car wreck caused by the dragon?
They didn't outright show that, but I believe that was the indication.
And then when he died, he became the snowman. And yes. he was so sad that he was a snowman. He was sad at the things that he did to his family. But then towards the end, he forgives himself. And then eventually the snow melts and he's underneath the snow and he returns back to his son who the only thing he wanted for Christmas was to be with his dad. So I thought that was a really cute story.
It was actually, I agree.
Yeah, I'm just saying. The only part that I found ridiculous and preposterous is that a kid just wants to spend Christmas with his dad.
Some kid.
Well, I don't think that's the only thing he wants, is what I'm saying.
I would like to think that my son would, you know, if I randomly disappeared or whatever.
In other words, if that happened, I'm sure he'd be like, oh, I want my dad to come back, but I also want the new whatever, XYZ.
Maybe. It's terrible.
I'm so cynical.
That's pretty bad.
All right, let's keep that theme going. Pretty dark story with Dead Man Logan from Marvel Comics, number 2 of 12. Writer Ed Bryson, art by Mike Henderson. And cover, and the reason why we're reading this,
cover by Declan Shelby. Who is awesome.
Yes.
That's not the only reason we're reading
That's the
it.
Reason why you first picked this, because you thought he was doing interiors, and it turns out he just did the cover.
But I liked the story.
It is a really good story.
Yeah, like it actually.
You know why? Because freaking Charles Soule is nowhere near this thing.
Oh, that's not why. It's because, although, spoilers, I told him we have to read X-Force, because even though I hate most of the X-Books, the guy who writes this is writing X-Force.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I gotta fucking read it because he's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. But okay, so last issue, I'm not gonna fucking recap last issue. Just listen to last week's show. Wolverine and Hawkeye are still beating up criminals trying to find Mysterio. Meanwhile, Mysterio, Lady Sinister, and Red Skull's daughter. Does she have a name?
Sin.
Sin. Jesus, is she in the Ministry of Darkness?
I don't remember her looking like this, though. I thought she had the same Red Skull gimmick, or was it a helmet?
She never had the Red Skull gimmick, that I can recall.
Okay. I remember I read that ill-fated Fear Itself, and she did have the Red Skull gimmick.
Maybe she wore it for a little while, and then she realizes it's stupid, and nobody ever gets over as the reincarnation of a character.
Yeah, here's what I'm wondering with the Red Skull. At what point, because his original origin was he wore the mask and then eventually.
And then it like bonded to him or something.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know when they decided, hey, let's make him just have his head actually look like that all the time.
I don't know. It was a while ago though.
Okay.
Lady Sinister wants to move on with the plan of killing all the heroes, and Sin wants to have fun. So they got that going on. And then Wolverine and Hawkeye are bouncing around, and he thinks he finds Mysterio and Taskman. He finds a group of Spider-Man villains, apparently a Sinister Six, and he goes to attack them, but it turns out that they are the Avengers he's attacking. So Mysterio has already decided to use his powers, which is no good.
That's no good.
No good. Yeah, it's bad news.
Also, if you're a furry, that's no good.
Correct.
I can someone explain to me when that happened, when the furries co-opted Sonic?
Because
I feel guilty now in public playing Sonic games or buying Sonic games.
You shouldn't.
But they've taken it over.
It was when Princess Sally Unicorn.
Acorn.
Or whatever the fuck her name was, became a character. Because they watched her when they were like 13 and she makes their penises hard.
I don't know. I'll to this day, I'll blame Gadget before that.
I think she came later. Gadget did.
No, I remember because I remember, no, Gadget came first.
Well, I mean, I had Gadget when I was a kid, but I was like six. So, you know, my balls hadn't dropped yet. So Gadget didn't do anything for me.
And when I say Gadget, I'm first referring to
Rescue
Rangers. Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
But I don't know. Well, either way, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, shit's breaking down. And Logan also explained, like, yeah, I know that, you know, we know I'm not going to do it because I'm dying. But, like, I heard the younger me is back. And, like, you know, he might do it. And they show that they're still susceptible. He also mentioned that one of the first things the X-Men did was they did something so that if this happened again, he could be stopped. But I don't know if that works on new fire-clawed Wolverine.
Well, so it could also be the X-Men are prepared to deal with this, but not necessarily the Avengers, as we've seen at the end of this book.
Like, why don't they just do it to like somebody who's actually really powerful, like Thor?
Because Thor never killed all the superheroes.
Right, but I'm saying they know what the goal is. It's to get a hero to kill all the other heroes, right? They know it worked on Wolverine, who should be somewhat immune to it.
Why wouldn't you do it on someone who's a way bigger deal like Hulk?
That's literally what I just said.
Yeah, but
why not Thor?
Or better yet, do it on a bunch of them. That way there's no room for error. It's like, okay, we'll do it to Thor and Hulk. That way, if something happens to the one, you can still have Hulk kill everybody.
Hulk would be perfect. Or like Franklin Richards, maybe.
Oh, that'd be sad as a kid, though.
The guy with God powers.
That's true.
Like, do it to him.
Or Molecule Man.
Well, Molecule Man is currently dead.
Or the Beyonder.
The Beyonder is also not around.
Ooh, and I know you can get the Beyonder, too. You can, you can, like, open, like, a store that just sells nothing but go-go suits.
I don't know if that Beyonder exists anymore. Now the Beyonders are, like, aliens.
No, they both exist.
Oh, they do? Okay.
But there's two. There's the Beyonder, and then there's the Beyonders.
That's stupid.
Yes. It's comics and, well, in modern day. I almost said in 2018, but that storyline happened a couple years back.
Yeah, I don't approve of that. It's okay, though.
It's no good.
It is no good.
I think we have the name of our episode now.
This book is alright, though.
I'm going to have the big Sonic wagging his finger.
Please don't.
Have you seen those Sonic the Hedgehog movie posters, by the way?
There's a Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
They're making a Sonic the Hedgehog live action movie.
Why?
Because they're looking for a quick buck.
But that's not going to make it because kids don't care about Sonic anymore.
That's true. Well, there's enough furries.
Oh, God.
I wonder how many will go and how many will go in their attire.
Will dress like that?
Yes.
And then like, hand jobs while you're watching the movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're into that. I fucking don't even want to think about that. That's weird.
I'm just hoping at some point they try to wedge in Ugandan Knuckles.
I don't think they're going to. Sega was, I don't believe they were okay with that, with Ugandan metal.
Just have a segment in the movie where...
Where somebody, like, asks him, do you know the way?
Where they just ask, Knuckles asks just very quickly, and just as a matter of fact, do you know the way?
Well, I don't think they're going to make, like, fucking Ebola jokes in a kid's movie.
But he gets a wink and a nod where he just says, do you know the way?
What do they gain by that? Isn't that a bit like when they did X-Men 3?
Yeah, that's the only reason why I saw that stupid movie.
Huh?
That's the only reason why I watched that stupid movie.
Well, you're the only one because nobody else watched the fucking movie. They didn't care if he said, I'm Juggernaut, bitch. Like, come on. That's ridiculous. No, it's not funny. It wasn't funny.
Yeah. Wait.
That movie sucked.
Oh, but the internet video was, in fact, very funny.
Yeah, that was, but you didn't need to put it in the movie.
Okay. All right, so move on to our next book from DC Comics. We have Batman 61, writer Tom King, art by Mitch Gerards.
So this was good, and I actually liked what they did with it, but...
Bane Switch?
Yeah, like, we just dropped the story we were doing and jumped into a new storyline.
Because it was a big cliffhanger, just Thomas Wayne shows up, and it's like, ooh, I can't wait for the next issue of Batman. Of Batman finally drops, and it's like, oh, we're doing stuff with the kid that thinks he's Bruce Wayne again.
Master Bruce. Master Bruce is my favorite new character.
Well,
Tom King made.
The problem is, the stuff they did with the Batman Who Laughs got me thinking when this story first started, it's like, oh, this is clearly another Batman and Bruce Wayne from another universe.
I thought that too, but then it turns out that it was just Master Bruce. So to remind everyone, Master Bruce is the name of the character who was, he's a young kid who was very inspired by the story of young Bruce Wayne, his parents being murdered. So he basically went batshit insane and carved Thomas and Martha into his cheeks and was apparently put in prison, where he now murders other criminals under the excuse of, they killed my parents. And after doing this to, I believe, 7 criminals, brutally murders one of them, by the way. He gets a fucking razor blade and cuts his throat out and his arms and everything. It was really gross. He just keeps saying, well, they killed my parents, so they're just said, fuck it, and they're going to send him to Arkham.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, isn't he a little young for Arkham? And they're like, well, at least he won't be our problem. Because you can't keep this fucking kid around. He keeps murdering people.
I wonder what's the end game with Master Bruce. Is he just going to be a new rogue? Or does King have a plan with him where eventually Batman's going to confront him and just, like, show him that he's Bruce Wayne or something?
I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do with it, but I think it's an interesting story. And one of the things that I haven't heard anybody talk about is this kid would be about Robin age, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Robin was Tim Drake Robin, at least. He was fairly dangerous, even though he was a kid. So what they might do is they might set up this Master Bruce to be like a Robin, but an evil Robin.
That would be cool.
And does a Batman rogue who is a child, is there any benefit to that? Like, will any of the villains be less likely to murder the shit out of him because he's a little kid? He's also crazy as balls, but I mean, he's a little kid.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Batman's rogues. It's like there's there's levels of darkness when it comes to them. Like a couple,
yeah,
of
like some of them would flat out just fucking murder a child.
Yeah, whereas some of them would be like, oh, God, just get him away.
Like I don't know if like Two-Face would.
Yeah, but Joker might.
Like Joker, Bane, fucking Croc.
Bane, I'm not sure because he was.
Bane was a kid.
He was traumatized, as a kid, so he may be sympathetic to the kid.
So he might not, but Maxi Zeus just got out of prison, remember? And he murdered a bunch of kids.
Yep.
Jaws would kill fucking kids. A lot of them would kill kids, but I mean, you know, if the kid learns how to fight like Robin did, he can defend himself.
But wasn't the gimmick with him also that he's rich?
Yes, he has. Well, that's how he's getting to these guards or these prisoners. He would bribe the guards because he has money. So
he's got class.
I'm not gonna, he's a little kid. I can't finish the song. The ladies do not love to lick his ass or.
Oh, they may in time.
Well, when he's older. But no, I kind of like him having, cause Batman can't beat the shit out of a little kid.
He can get Danny.
Well, I mean,
too,
he physically could beat the shit out of a little kid, but I'm saying I don't think he would.
Do you think he would get Damon to do it?
No, I don't think he would get anyone to beat up a little kid.
I just want the gimmick of where Batman, like, he's had it with this kid, and he wants to just, you know, lay into this kid, but he can't because even he has his scruples. So he's like, you know, I can't punch you in the face because you're a kid and I might kill you, but my son Damien can.
Yeah, I don't think Batman would do that. Like, here, I'm not going to beat the shit out of you, but this kid, he'll fucking murder you.
Ooh, in fact, that could be a gimmick down the road where Damien is like, who the hell does the kid think he is?
Well, we haven't seen a lot of Damien. Well, the Bat family really isn't in Batman, which is what we read, so. That could be why.
That could be a fun interaction.
Yeah. I like Damien. He's fun.
I felt like wasn't there another Batman villain that was kind of a kid?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of someone else then. All right, let's move to Image Comics with Middle West number 2, writer Scotty Young, art by George Corona.
I've decided I think I'm really gonna like this book.
It did a great thing. It managed to continue the storyline while also doing some world building.
A little bit. It's not doing, it's weird. Like, it's not doing much. But like, we still don't know, like, we're still not quite sure what the Middle West is, except it's like the American Midwest in that there are a lot of farms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we learn, but obviously things are different here. Like, you know, talking animals exist, animal people hybrids exist, and, wizards exist, and witches, apparently, and that's just normal. And the kid who has some sort of mystical curse or something on him, that's shocking to people, but it's not the fact that he has some sort of magical curse. That itself is not shocking.
Yeah, the fact that he has a magical curse isn't really a big deal, but it's the kind he has.
Yeah, the kind he has is very disturbing. And there was a funny thing in this where, so they're on a train and two cannibals, one of them is, it's Marty Skrull. Fucking with the bird.
I hate to break it to you, but that mask existed long, long before.
Well, I know it did. It was the old English, the plague masks.
Yes.
That they wore, which I find to be hilarious that, like, they would wear those fucking terrifying, like, you couldn't wear something better. That's what you had to wear? Something that's fucking scary?
Well, it wasn't necessarily designed to be scary. You know why it has the long nose, right?
No.
Because everything would smell so bad, they would put, like, nice-smelling things inside the nose thing.
Oh, okay.
So when you put the mask on.
Yeah, okay, well, they still could have made something that was less fucking scary.
But
it's a creepy-looking mask.
Yeah, well, while you do the review, I'm going to do the Marty Skrull theme music and periodically go, whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop.
Well, anyway.
Whoop, whoop.
But this nice old man with a walking stick that had a light bulb on the end of it saved them and apparently murdered the two people attacking him, and he brought him home and he was talking to him, and he's a wizard, so he's going to help him. But him putting the cream or whatever on his chest didn't actually help it, and the kid got really mad, and that made it grow brighter and spread. So he found out that anger apparently is what makes this thing spread, and him and the fox are going to fucking bounce out. But the guy, he wants to send them to a witch who travels the Middle West, I don't know, doing fucking palm readings or whatever the fuck, but she apparently has actual magical powers. Since he's not hanging around to be brought to her, he steals the information about her and decides to go see her on his own. So that all works out. And that's where we're at. And there are two main characters are the kid and the fox who are cute together.
Can I say, I appreciate your maturity for this review.
What did I do?
Cause when you were doing the recap, at no point were you ever tempted or did you ever say, so the fox said,
yeah, I was thinking about it though the whole time, like when I was reading it. Lauren actually shared a video the other day to me of, somebody like, they took in a baby fox, and every time the baby fox would talk, it would go, that's actually what they sound like.
Or I forget who it was, what gamer was. He was playing Red Dead Redemption with his daughter. And you know what happens in that game? You hunt like a game, right? You had to.
Oh, that was V1.
Oh, yeah.
On OSW Reviews, they did a cut.
What does the fox say? Nothing, because he's dead.
He's like skinning it, and she's like, no, that's me.
You're mean.
Don't kill him. And she walked away, and he's just fucking laughing on Twitch. The dick.
What does the fox say? Nothing, because he's dead.
What's he doing? Making his daughter cry, bro?
Oh, making kids cry, bro.
He's making kids cry, bro. That's not cool. I gotta send him a message.
Too bad Bryan Adams is dead.
Bryan Adams. Well, he wasn't much of a wrestler. But yeah, his people dying is sad.
But, you know, him finding out that he's making his child cry.
He wouldn't like him making kids cry, bro. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. All
right. And to close out this week's books, going back to DC, we have Freedom Fighters number one, writer Robert Venditti, art by Eddie Barrows, I'm sorry.
Who did the writing and the art for this?
Let's do it again. Writer Robert Venditti, artist Eddie Barrows.
I kind of like the art, by the way.
It was pretty good.
I'm not familiar with him.
I'm not familiar with Earth X all that much, so when Plastic Man showed up in this, I was kind of...
Well, that's not really Plastic Man. That's the plastic with two... With the Nazi SSs, the Plastic Men. And they're all the same. This Earth X is, it is the Earth, the Freedom Force. Freedom Fighters. What's their name?
Freedom Fighters.
Freedom Fighters. They reside in, which is a world where very similar to the Man in High Castle on Amazon, where the Nazis won World War II. With the power of metahumans, they won World War II, but the Freedom Fighters were the holdouts, and this opens up, and you got Human Bomb there, and Doll Man, and Black Condor, and fucking Olympian Jesse Owens.
Yeah!
who did not have superpowers, however their reasoning was, had the Nazis won World War II, had they taken over America, he would most likely be public enemy number one because he embarrassed them.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there's some truth in that.
No.
Although I don't know how him running fast made him the one who was like, yeah, I'm going to lead this fucking underground team here. But they were at a meeting, of the resistance, you know, wanting to fight the Nazis, and, the Plastic Men, the evil Nazi Plastic Men, invaded, captured them all, and killed them all on live television. And Uncle Sam was there, and this is actually true to the character. Uncle Sam's powers, they come from people's belief in America. So if people do not believe in America, then he goes away. So... he tries to fight some of the Nazis who are catching him, and then he just kind of disappears. Then we skip ahead 55 years to modern day, where we see things like kids playing with a baseball in the streets, and the Nazi officers take the baseball away because that was America's pastime. Can't have that.
No.
And he's probably going to get fucking murdered in a camp somewhere now. But a doll woman and Phantom Lady, who was already dead 55 years ago, and a new Black Condor. They all show up ready to fight, and they actually blow up a part of the. They blow up the museum dedicated to the murdering of the American Resistance.
The day of victory, they call
it. Yeah, they blow up the museum and just incinerate the fucking the Nazis inside it. And then they're like, hey, y'all, we're going to go fight the fucking Ratsies. And everybody's like, yay! And Uncle Sam is going to be back now because people are believing in America again.
He's going to tell people to say their prayers and take their vitamins.
So this is an 11-issue series of people fighting Nazis who've taken over America. So it's a win because everyone hates Nazis. I've said this a million times. It's the easiest story to tell because whenever your villain is Nazis, and these are actual Nazis, this isn't Hydra. This is just straight up fucking Nazis. Whenever the villain is Nazis, you automatically hate the villains.
I wonder how far can you take the hatred of Nazis?
You could go as far as you want because they're Nazis.
Like, could you like show in gruesome detail someone getting a steamroller and riding over one?
Well, in this one, they show them being exploded and their skin melting off their faces.
Because I always had an idea for a Punisher being sent back in time to World War II to help out Cap.
Oh, he would kill the shit out of the Nazis.
Like, I just imagine him riding a tank.
Well, most of the time, the Punisher is very utilitarian. Like, he just shoots them. Hmm. He doesn't actively look for clever ways to kill people. He wants to kill them in the most efficient way possible, so he just shoots them. I suppose he could, though.
He cucks Hitler into from a Jew and just makes him watch.
Wouldn't that mean Hitler would have to fall in love with a Jew and then
his wife? Or
he would. Hitler had a wife, but yeah, she wasn't a Jew.
But I'm saying Punisher would get a Jew.
Punisher could. Oh, he gets a Jew to bang.
Yeah, and Hitler just has to watch.
It makes him watch.
Yeah,
and then kills him.
Yeah.
In this story, by the way, says 55 years later, Hitler is dead, and his son, Hitler Jr., they didn't call him.
I prefer El Hijo de Hitler.
El Hijo de Hitler. He'd probably get into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
Before Big Daddy. There's no justice in this world.
God, it's ridiculous. No, this is a fun story about fighting and killing Nazis, though. I liked it, and the art was good.
I will say this. It's a very simple story. I don't know if we need 12 issues to tell the story.
I think they could do a lot in a world taken over by the Nazis. Like, we can get the English Resistance eventually. With, I don't know, they could bring fucking...
Well, if this was like an Image book, you could do the whole story of, oh, let's see what a world taken over by the Nazis look like.
Well, I think we'll see a little of that.
Like,
they did refer to the place they were at in America as this ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it didn't look that bad.
No, so, it looked more or less like modern-day New York or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It did make me say I should really finish watching Man in High Castle.
Yeah, I bet it's good.
The story was good, but the show's been on for like 2 seasons now, and that was a short story, so... It's apparently good. I don't know. I watched it until they got to the part with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of turned it off because I'm like, well, this doesn't even seem like that bad. And I hear, if I would have watched for another episode, I would have seen, no, in fact, it is very bad. But I stopped watching at that point. I'm like, oh, I'll go watch something else.
Okay. That sounds, I'll have to keep an eye out for that. All right, that's going to do it for this week's books, but we're not going to move on to next week's books quite yet. Alex took me to task last week for not reading the 2 trades of Sandman. I again repeated the mistake of not reading both, but I did read one of them. I read Volume 3, Dream Country.
He read the easier one to read.
Well, because it's 4 issues.
Yeah, it's 4 issues and it's short.
At first, I was disappointed because I thought Sandman was going to be like this big epic story, and it's still from what Dave and you tell me it still is, but this trade was specifically just a bunch of short stories.
Yes, which is, so the way Neil Gaiman did Sandman was he would do like a big storyline, and then he would do a collection of short stories.
Yeah, that's how most writers do stuff. Or they'll have like a big story and then they'll break it up with one issue where he tells a self-contained one issue story.
Yeah, and the only difference is some of these stories come back in a somewhat important way. He never did anything in Sandman that wasn't for a reason. This is one of the few comics where, you know, he said he had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and he actually did. Mm-hmm. So he didn't do anything and not do it for a reason. So everything he did in here would matter. But he also told four very, very different stories. And for the record, my favorite stories are the first one and the last one.
I'm shocked because knowing you, I'm surprised you didn't say the cat one.
I do love the cat one. But the cat one is all there for like one line.
Oh, okay.
So we'll go one at a time. The first story is about a guy who was a writer who wasn't having any luck. And he went to see another older writer who told him he could help him if he got him some obscure magical item.
It was basically a Rapunzel thing where a woman had swallowed so much hair that it was a hairball.
A bezoar.
Yeah, a partially digested piece of hair.
Yeah, gross. So he wanted one of those, so he gave it to him, and he gave him his muse, he said, which was an actual muse. It was one of the nine muses who he had captured 90 years ago, and then proceeded to, you know, rape her for 50 years to get stories. So this guy took her and did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so he kept her in a room in his house and would just, you know, go up and do bad things to her.
I like how they even described in the book for about 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, it wasn't meant to be a romantic thing.
I know, but just, like, they didn't even bother to try to dress it up. It's like, oh, yeah, he pounded her for, like, a good 10 minutes. No, for, like, about 120 seconds.
Yeah, and then, however, it works, of course. And he becomes incredibly famous and successful. He's writing books. He's doing movies, this and that, this and that. And she keeps saying, you know, will you let me go now? And he's like, well, no, of course I won't let you go. Without you, I'm nothing. So you're going to stay my slave here. So she basically begs for Dream to come save her because they had a bad breakup, but she did date him in the past. And this is Dream post him getting
spoiler.
No, it's not a spoiler because it's after the first trade of Sandman when Dream was released, which was the point at which he started to change.
Okay.
So he actually did come, and he couldn't directly release her because, well, she also prayed to the fates and they couldn't do anything because he followed the magical rules by capturing her, and Dream couldn't directly release her again because he got her in following the magical rules. So he told the guy, he's like, hey, can you just let her go? Like, seriously, this is enough. And he's like, no, I can't, because this is where all my ideas come from. And he's like, oh, really, fucker? He's like, all right, well, I'll give you ideas. I'll give you more ideas than you know what to do with, which is the great part of the story, because what he does is he gives the guy so many ideas that he basically goes crazy. He can't, because he can't get them out fast enough. And he finally ends up, he's trying to scratch the ideas onto a wall. And he has scratched his fingers bloody down to the bone, trying to write them on the wall because he couldn't get them out. And it was the only place he could take them down. So finally realizing where he's at, he says, fuck it. Okay, I free her. I'll let her go. And she gets to go, and Dream did his nice thing. But that was effectively a horror story. And then the next story is much cuter. It's about this this little baby cat who's living in somebody's house. and he goes with another cat, and they're going to a cat meeting. And they all go to this cat meeting.
As cats are known
to do. Yeah, where this cat is going to give a speech, and the cat is talking, and the cat explains that you cats, you might think that your people are good to you, but they're not. We're actually just their slaves. And here's a story about, I thought my people loved me, but then I fell in love with this stray cat, and I got babies, and they took the babies, and they killed them. So I escaped. And that's when she found out that in the past, the world was ruled by cats, giant cats, and people were their tiny little slaves who would clean them, and they would hunt and eat them. But because she's talking to Dream, he's the one who's telling her this.
Well, Dream has a cat.
Well, because when Dream appears to cats, he's a cat. Mm. It's like they show in other things, like if Dream appears to like somebody from Africa, he looks like a black guy.
Oh, okay.
Like Dream looks different depending on who's looking at him.
Michael Arcus.
Presumably the thought is, since we're reading a comic, we're white, and therefore he looks like a white guy.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, Tony's a Mexican.
He'll be El Santo.
Have a luchador mask.
Oh, he'll be L.A. Park. The Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer, L.A. Park.
He carries a chair. He plays it like a guitar because
he comes
out
to Michael Jackson's Thriller.
But Dream told her this, that you know people used to be, but then the people, they all had, one of them gave a speech, and he's like, listen, if we all dream the world the way we want it to be, it'll be that way. So it didn't take a lot of them, it took a couple thousand of them, but they did it, and then the world was like this. And you know, the cat says, like, oh, so the world used to be like that. And Dream explains, no, they didn't make it so that the world changed. They made it so that that world never existed.
Yeah, because they didn't just the world didn't just, like, become this one day and then it's like everyone forgot what happened. It's like, no, they actively made sure that that cat past never happened.
Right, which is a very Neil Gaiman thing to do. They, through their thoughts, they reordered reality.
Yeah, I'm like, that's some good writing, and that's sort of a hard thing to explain, because normally you would just think, oh, well, the course of history changed, it pivoted at that point, but it's like, no, the humans made it so where that never happened, which, by the way, I don't know how you do that, and then nobody has any memory of it.
Well, but the funny thing of it is, the little cat is like, you know, she said, she tells them all, so all you have to do is believe, and you have to dream it, and we can have this world back. And the little cat, you know, he's very cute. He's like, I believe you. And then the older cat who's with him is like, he's like, do you think this could ever happen? He's like, listen, I don't know if what she's saying true or not, but good luck getting 10 cats to fucking eat in the same place, let alone getting 1,000 of them to dream the same thing, which is great. And it was also really sad because it's like cats don't exactly have the greatest memory. And he's probably right. You can't get 1,000 cats to do the same thing. So the world's never going to be that way. But it ends in this really cute scene of the baby cat sleeping, and it's like, you know, doing the thing cats do where it's like batting at the air, and they're like, oh, it's dreaming. What do you think it's dreaming about? Oh, it's probably hunting some little creature. And you know, that fucking cat's dreaming about eating people.
Yeah.
But he looks so cute. So that was the end of that story. And then the third story was about, Shakespeare.
Oh yeah. This one I found confusing.
Okay, so this one is actually fairly simple. So,
oh, thanks.
It was about, well, no, just because it's, and this one actually comes back later because the Kingdom of Fairy is, it becomes somewhat important in the Sandman story, and also in what's that fucking book? Books of Magic. It's kind of important there too. So those characters come back. But the reason it's in this is in Sandman lore, Dream got he liked Shakespeare as a writer, and he got him to agree to write two plays for him. And one of them was he just finished Midsummer Night's Dream, which is it's about the kingdom of Faerie, which he had him write it for them. So they actually came to watch the play, and the play is about them. So you have all these fantastical creatures coming to watch a play where the people are playing them. So there were, like, you know, all little jokes spread throughout, and like they're very upset with their portrayal. And which was pretty good. And at one point the character who's playing Puck didn't appreciate his portrayal, so he knocked him out and he took his place, and he played himself in the story. And there was some little, they did some kind of off the, so Shakespeare's kid did die when he was really young. Their suggestion was that Titania, the queen of Faerie, actually basically abducted the kid and brought her to live with him in Faerie. So his kid disappeared. But historically, Shakespeare was never really close with his kid wasn't around him much anyway, so. I'm sure he would have been upset, but he wouldn't be that upset. But they go through the whole play, and they all enjoyed it quite a bit. But then when they woke up in the morning, they all just thought it was a dream. Mm-hmm. Because he wouldn't want them to remember that, you know, this, you've just fucking played in front of the king and queen of Faerie and a bunch of fucking monsters. So they all thought they were dreaming and are very upset that they made no money on this deal. But, and then that story ended. So that was largely just a setup, although he does, Shakespeare comes back later. That's the only reason it's important. And then the final story was a really sad one, because this was one of the ones where
I thought it was bittersweet more than sad than anything else. Cause it does have a bit of a happy ending.
Sort of.
Well, she was very unhappy and she died.
Well, yeah, she was, but the thing is, this was another Neil Gaiman is like, okay, what DC character can I have that I can kill? And they were like, you could have Element Girl, because nobody remembers her. So this is the story about Element Girl, who was the female version of Metamorpho, and she worked for the CIA. She got her powers while working for the CIA, and she lives an absolutely terrible life because she's a monster, basically. And she just kind of sits in her house, and the only one she talks to is her contact in the CIA, who sends her check every month, because they pay her money for, you know, ruining her life every month, and he's the only one she could talk to. And, you know, I'm not going to go into everything that happened, but things happen, and they're really bad, and then finally she finds out that her only contact has been transferred.
Oops.
So she now thinks she has no one to talk to. And she begs for death, and death happens to be in the building. And she walks into her house, and she tells her, she's like, "Listen, your people, they do eventually die. Like, it could take like 500 years, but that you know, you'll die. Just have patience." And she's like, "I can't live anymore. Like, I can't do this. My life is fucking miserable. I can't go anywhere. I can't talk to anyone. I can't see anything. I can't, you know, I can't do this." And she's like, "Well, you got your powers from Sun God, right?" She's like, "Yeah." She's like, "I'll ask the sun." So she does. She looks out into the sun in the morning.
She talks to Ra.
And, yeah, and she begs Ra to let her die, and he does. She ends up like turning to dust and dying. And it's very sad. Like, it's not a happy, like, she got what she wanted, but
well,
she was
happy in the end.
Well, yeah, because she got to die. But I mean, it's like, in the world they live in, like, she really couldn't have joined like a superhero group.
Yeah, because she looked exactly like Metamorpho.
Yeah, but I mean, Metamorpho had a different I don't know. He just had a different outlook on life. Like, he had the whole monster thing. But if you look at all the monstrous characters, like, look at the Thing. The Thing never tried to kill himself.
I'm sure had that character been written in a different time, and I'm surprised no one's done that yet.
Well, it's too late now, because now he's kind of come to terms with it.
Although, if his marriage goes south, who's to say?
Oh, he might try to kill himself, but yeah. He can't either, because he's Rock. But they even had her discuss, like, she's, like, talking about the different ways you can kill herself, and none of them would work. Because, you know, she can't cut her wrist, because she doesn't bleed. She can't take poison, because her body would make it not poison.
Yeah, her body would break it down.
Yeah, she couldn't think of any way to kill herself. So, you know, it was
And
sad.
She even said, not only do I not know ways to kill yourself, but it's going to take a while for you to die. It's like, there's been other people that have been like you that have gotten these powers from Raw. And yeah, you do die eventually, but it just takes like 2,000 years. And that's part of the reason why eventually she wanted to talk to Raw, because she's like, I'm not waiting 2,000 years to die.
Yeah, and it's just, I understand why he did the story this way, and it makes sense if you're looking at these characters from a human perspective, I would understand why she might have that view. But given that there are many characters who have it just as bad as her, it's like, oh, he could have done something nicer. But, you know, it's fucking Sandman.
He had a story he wanted to tell, and he wanted to do a character that nobody was doing anything with.
He did a lot in 22 pages with a character. It's impressive to make you understand why a character would want to kill herself in 22 pages. And then to develop a situation where she went from having very little to having nothing in 22 pages. That is impressive to do. But it's still really fucking a huge downer. The other short story collection he did was called Brief Lives. Mm-hmm. And it's much less negative than this.
Well, that's good.
Or not Brief Lives, it's The Wake, which is, it takes place after largely the end of Sandman. But it's not as much of a downer. Like, there are a couple of downer stories, but they're not like this. So it's a little cheerier.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, and originally you proposed me reading two trades, but because we have such a slim picking of next week's books. Next week, I will be reading Volume 4, Seasons of Mist.
Which is much more, here's a story, and it's going to start, middle, and end it.
Okay, perfect. All right. I'll go ahead. Say your piece.
No. I was going to point out that next week we don't have a lot of comics.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's go into that segment, next week's books.
Say yeah! We go hard, all day, all night. All my brows are the people who be ready to fight. Say yeah!
Can I say my one criticism of you picking this song?
It's not a bad wrestling theme song.
Also, I wish we did it flipped where we did the wrestling song first. Because I can't think of a cooler intro for this show than that song.
We're not Southern.
True. Although I'm in Southern California.
You know what actually made me pick this?
We ran out of really bad songs.
No, we haven't, by the way. I was,
Cause I was hoping we'd make it really good wrestling songs now.
No, I was listening to Observer Radio, and Dave said the reason the Revival got the tag title shot was because Vince watched a match they had and thought it was really good. And then on the episode where we're gonna give the fans what we want, he determined the fans like the Revival, and they had a good match, so I'm gonna let them win a match. And apparently next week on the already taped show, it had a fucked finish. So they get to have another match for the tag titles. I don't know who holds the tag titles.
I believe it is...
Oh, it's Gable and Rude.
Yeah.
And Gable against those guys is probably fantastic.
Yep. Cause I remember Mania Weekend. I was there for an Evolve show, a Ring of Honor show, NXT and Mania. And the best match all weekend was the Revival of Chad Gable and Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan. Oh God, that match was fucking amazing.
And that was the same weekend with Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. So
yeah,
think about that for a second.
The rumor is, the Revival are still good wrestlers.
Well, to a degree, I understand where Vince is coming from when he first started burying them. Cause remember when they first debuted, it wasn't like a week into their
debut. They kept getting hurt.
They kept getting hurt. And it's like, well, can I really get behind these guys? Like, whenever I start to give them a push, they're both going to get hurt.
Well, yeah, but the problem now is it's like, they've been doing nothing. They've been like losing 2-minute squash matches. If they have to start having real matches again, aren't they going to get hurt again?
Cause you know, it's easy to do in NXT. You have, you know, a couple matches on TV, maybe, once or twice a month, and then you go on the road and you can have much easier matches where
they don't do that in NXT, by the way.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how the schedule worked.
Yeah. People have been complaining about it. Actually, apparently when NXT does their touring matches, they do like takeover matches on the tours.
Oh, really? I'm shocked.
Because they work less. So they try really hard when they have a match. Because the thought is if you go see an NXT show, you're expecting high work rate.
Why don't they do that with the regular roster? Because
the regular roster does more shows,
but the thing
and
is,
would get hurt more.
Aren't they losing money or are they just break even now?
They're making money. NXT makes money now.
No, I'm talking about WWE.
WWE?
Main roster.
They are losing money on their house shows.
So I'm saying do fewer of them and make the ones you do make the, by the way, make them really good so you have an incentive to go. And in fact, maybe that's what Vince's secret plan is.
His secret plan is to make the house shows good.
Well, he'll probably have fewer house shows though, so they'll be good.
By the way, WWE is coming to my town for a live event. And I told Jack said he wanted to go to wrestling. I don't know if I told you this. He's like, yeah, I want to go see WWE. And the big sign came up, and it's like WWE, March 18th, WWE Live. And I'm like, hey, Jack, do you want to go to that? He goes, nah, I don't want to go anymore. So he's already lost interest. So I won't be – I will still be keeping the streak alive, never going to see wrestling. Because I ain't going to go – my wife don't want to go, and I ain't going to go with anybody from work and – I would bring my kid, but he doesn't want to go, so I'm not going to go.
Yeah, there you go. One day before you pass on this mortal coil.
When he's like 14 or something, maybe he'll like it.
I think he may not like it because you like it. Although my dad likes wrestling and I like wrestling, so.
Well, right, no, because Jack likes a lot of the same stuff I like. So it's not that, but because I've told you I have to be careful of the things I say because he'll repeat them. Mm-hmm. Like taxation is theft. that's the one thing I don't watch. I keep saying that so he knows. But but he's got those things, so I gotta be careful. But I'd never tell him like you have to like football or you're a faggot. Like I'm not gonna do that.
Although you should.
It's all right. If he doesn't like sports, it's like what does it even matter anymore?
Why?
Like, is he really going to get made fun of now? Like, you can't make fun of kids anymore. They're not allowed to.
In private school, you could probably get away with doing that.
I don't even think you can in private school. I haven't heard about kids, like, making fun of other. Like, I haven't heard about bullies in his school.
Mm.
But, you know, presume. Oh, my God, I have to tell you something off air. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, you're going to do the Dave Meltzer thing now?
No, actually, I'll just tell it on the show. So, kid's school,
okay,
you can pay tuition multiple ways. You can pay it, once a month, twice a year, or all at the end of the year. And I think we signed up to pay it every month, but then I thought, well, I'll just pay, cause I owe him like $1,900 for the rest of the year. So I thought, well, in December, I'll just give him $1,000. And then I'll owe $900 for the rest of the year. It'll all be good. They thought we were paying every month. So they thought we didn't have the money to pay tuition. So they have like a wish tree in the school, like where you can buy presents for underprivileged kids and stuff. And like we were talking about doing it. Fucking Jack was on the goddamn tree.
Oh, that's sad.
And somebody fucking, like it didn't say his name, but somebody bought a present for him because we hadn't paid tuition. So they thought we didn't have any money. And it's like, I just blew like $700 on this kid's Christmas. And I literally just today gave them $1,000 for tuition and they got a fucking present for him. Wait. And I don't know how to tell them because it's like a charity thing. And but, like, I don't want it.
Just give it back and be like, we have the money.
Well, that's what I want.
I'm confused. You paid them $1,000 and they think you don't have money. I'm confused.
They didn't know we were going to pay them $1,000. They thought we were going through hardships or something.
Hard times?
And we're not. Yeah, they thought we were going through hard times. And the thing is, it's like, my kid fucking wears different clothes to school every day. He's always clean. This fucking kid brings sushi to lunch. Like he eats expensive foods. Like he's not poor. We're not poor, but they thought we were apparently. So, and you know what I think the thing is? It's because Lauren fucking picks him up in her piece of shit car with no muffler that's really loud.
Oh.
And like I pick her up in my car, which sounds fine, but I don't pick him up in my car as much. So I don't know if they think like me and the wife are fighting and that's why I don't pick Jack up.
Oh, that's mean.
And like it could be a collection of things. But yeah, they fucking gave him the charity present and I'm like, I don't want it. Can we give it to another kid? Like, cause like we have money. We're not poor, but I feel really bad. And I'm not sure what
just
to do.
Give it back
I told Lauren, I'm like, listen, Lauren, if you take him to school tomorrow, can you talk to him and tell him like, we don't need the present. Like the kid's getting like a new fucking tablet and a MIDI keyboard and a bunch of other shit. Like he doesn't need this, whatever it is.
All right. Let's go into next week's books. I think
we're reading everything that's coming out
from Marvel.
Not everything. I'm not reading Superior Spider-Man number one.
Oh, come on. Let's read Superior Spider-Man. I want to read it.
Did you read what it is?
No.
Yeah, we're not reading
what
that.
Is it? Explain.
It's 8 fucking covers. It's a tie-in to a series we're not reading. It's written by Christos Gage.
Who's the B Spider-Man writer?
Yeah. Like, it's a tie-in to Spider-Geddon, which we're not reading.
Fine. That's the only reason why I'm not reading. I want to read a Doc Ock Spider-Man book, but if it's a tie-in to Spider-Geddon,
which we haven't read.
Let me. Okay.
They put a number one on it, so you read. I will, however, read Fantastic Four number 5. If you want to read it, that's fine.
Yeah, let's come on. Let's read it because it's like if it's even if it's a tie-in. Because the thing is, I eventually want to be reading this book. Because I was a big fan of Superior Spider-Man, so I'm sure down the road it will stop tying into Spider-Geddon. And when that happens, I want to be reading this book.
There's not going to be an issue, too.
Look. No, it's supposed to be a continuing title.
No, it's not.
I thought there was supposed
no.
to be. Oh, it's
no.
Oh, it's a one-off?
Yeah, this is like the 8th Spider-Geddon.
Oh, then
they've been
no,
doing
I want to read it anyway.
Week.
I want to read it still.
Okay, it's not the start of a new series.
If we had 12 books... or 20 books, and this was like book 21 that was going to make it really hard to read this week's books. I could see where you're coming from. But this book, next week's books are The Day After Christmas, Boxing Day, Kwanzaa, if you're so inclined. There's not a ton of books coming out. We're reading two
okay,
books.
Well, we're going to read Uncanny X-Men and X-Force.
Uncanny X-Men?
Yep.
Why?
Because in the write-up, it says The Coming of X-Man.
Fine. So we have 4 books then.
He is my favorite Cable offshoot, and he's been gone for a long time.
All right, I'll give it to you. So we're reading those 4 books, and we're reading the 4th Sandman trade, Seasons of Mist. Or rather, I'm reading it since Alex read it.
I'll read it too. Okay, Seasons of Mist.
Is that a song?
That was from Rent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shame.
Everyone has eight.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this week's show. And play us out this week will be the Revivals theme again. All right. So from all of us at Comic and at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next week. Adios.
Yeah. In the shade.